Okay, members of the public, if I could prevail upon everyone to give your attention and if we could all quiet down, and we'll go ahead and let the manager begin his report in a moment. Board members, if we could stop the side conversations, we're ready to go ahead and go forward. And now I would like to welcome Andrew Phillips, Interim General Manager of KPFA. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome everybody to Berkeley, to KPFA. And it was nice to see some of you at our event last night. I hope you had a good time.
Yes, we did. Thank you. Thank you.
The Pacifica Foundation has called for reductions in expense and workforce. The Foundation's intention is to reduce network expenses by $1 million immediately. This notice sent to all Pacifica affiliated unions June 26 stated layoff, reductions in staff and reductions in pay will take place. The memorandum states that there may be need to restructure staff and services and perhaps some program changes effective immediately. Union and staff members have these questions. How did Pacifica arrive at the $1 million number? Two, is there a recovery plan? Three, has Pacifica analysed the impact of these changes on future fundraising? Four, what participation and contributions will the two East Coast stations make to this austerity plan? Five, what likelihood is there of WBAI and WPFW meeting their central services commitments in the future? Six, is the PMB aware that KPFA loaned the Pacifica National Office approximately $1 million around 2000 when the National Office was moved from the then Executive Director Lynn Chadwick's mother's basement in Washington, D.C. to Berkeley when the new governance structure was installed? What is the status of the loan? Seven, KPFA seeks detailed account information from the Pacifica National Office to ensure that we are being billed in accordance with actual amounts owed. We've been promised a meeting to clarify these issues. So far it has not occurred, but I expect it will. When I rejoined Pacifica in March 2011, after an 18-year hiatus, KPFA was still reeling following the major staff reductions that occurred in 2010. A total of 8.3 full-time equivalent staff positions were eliminated for a saving of approximately $404,000. A dozen staffers took settlements and left. They were all people of colour, and it changed the complexion of KPFA and reduced any affirmative action success KPFA had over the previous years. KPFA's current FTE number is 26.62. It accounts for 47 people at a salary cost of about $1.9 million a year, which is about 50% of the total budget. We have 27 union members in our shop. We figure we can probably cut the equivalent of about one FTE before digging into cut paid staff positions. To satisfy a goal of $300,000 in cuts, KPFA needs to cut the equivalent of more than five FTEs. Because KPFA has many half-time staff and because of union requirements to respect seniority, we would likely have to cut up to 10 positions, including some of our best fundraisers. Our projected budget this year is $3.3 million. Our current membership numbers are dropping and now stand at 19,667. That's almost 2,000 members less than this time last year. Currently, KPFA is able, however, to meet its commitments, but we have no reserves. Average pledge over the last two drives is $97.50. Fulfillment is 89%. From July 2011 to July 2012, we made $330,000 from the web, or about 12% of total donations. Radio is a portal to the internet. When we use the words community and radio today, they mean something different than they used to. Today, Pacifica's community is the whole world. We can stream audio on the internet from Berkeley to Baghdad. Radio's changed. Podcasts and Pandora. Time Shift and Twitter. And satellites. Today our community is local and global at the same time. And radio is terrestrial, virtual, text, digital, pictures and sound all at once. Look at what democracy now has done to radio. Pacifica and KPFA must become more conversant with current internet and social networking opportunities. We've fallen behind, and there's a need for a national initiative to push Pacifica into the 21st century technologies. We neglect this at our peril. Today, radio is a portal to the internet. Most of the action is online. There are e-commerce opportunities and social networking advantages to spreading the Pacifica message. The internet is a place to store our intellectual capital, past, present, and future. We need a sustained and immediate campaign to get this done. But talk's cheap. Everybody knows we need to do this, and we've known for years. It's just nothing's happened. I believe this needs to be a national initiative, and the Pacifica will need more creative input than is currently available in our system. We need professional input from those who understand how to do this. Planning for the future. Pacifica is a stressed and overworked institution. The ED has no assistant. We're stripped to the bone. I'm not surprised that there is no evident plan for the future, but it's obviously necessary. The last time there was a plan for the network was in 1996, as far as I know, when the Foundation unveiled Vision for Pacifica Radio, creating a network for the 21st century, a strategic five-year plan. But this plan created a two-tiered system of paid and unpaid staff. The idea was to increase audience and income. There's no evidence, however, that it really worked. And today it's an albatross dragging the Foundation towards bankruptcy, and it's extremely problematic. I have quite a long footnote, which I'm not going to read from, explaining the Healthy Stations project, which I think is an important thing to look at in the context of where we are today. I'll be welcome to share it with you, but it's in my report. The Pacifica Foundation and its affiliates make up a unique national network of independent local radio stations, accessible in ways unimagined when the idea of community-supported free speech radio was born. Pacifica has made the First Amendment and democracy a living reality, and this voice is as necessary as ever. Pacifica Affiliates Director Ursula Rudenberg has created a document exploring a Pacifica Internet Portal project that explains more of these ideas. And the current interim PD at KPFK, Alan Minsky, has prepared a nuts and bolts document called Building a Powerful Pacifica. It's well thought out and substantial, more than 20 pages of information. I have suggested that Pacifica take national control of all drive time programming from 6 till 10 in the morning and 4 till 6 in the afternoon. We could draw from talent within Pacifica to develop the best possible programming during these hours when audience potential is greatest, and that we heavily promote other programs from this drive time platform. I've been a consultant with a consultant named Nicholas Roberts, who appeared before our board here in Berkeley last time we met. He's a web designer and information architect who's worked on major news organizations and prepared a paper for me called Pacifica Expanded, which explores audio, video streaming, the web, e-commerce opportunities, and aggregating resources. I have a copy of that too. KPFA does not have a development director. However, following attendance at NFCB, we began a relationship with Goalbusters. I might point out this was instituted by our subscriptions manager, Chris Salick, who did a great job. Delegation's a good thing. So Chris contacted Goalbusters the year before last and this year, a development consulting firm specializing in public radio fundraising. Founded in 2001, Goalbusters specializes in working with non-profit organizations with limited development staff. They have extensive experience in non-commercial media, serving both radio and television. The estimated fee for a one-year relationship with Goalbusters is less than $40,000. We're willing and ready to begin this relationship, but we're on hold because of our hire freeze. But I think we'll probably hear more from Goldbusters tomorrow. KPFA management. At the beginning of June 1st, I announced to staff and the LSB that on advice from the ED, I would be leaving Pacifica at the end of June. This determination was subsequently rescinded. I understand there will be another KPFA GM search. At this time, I'm not sure how much longer I will be with Pacifica. My initial contract was for 6 months. Now it's been almost 18, and I'm currently working with no contract, but I'm working. I think I am. Some people might think so, but I think I am. Currently, KPFA has no program director. I have a temporary assistant who's helping with PD functions and on-air fundraising coordination. Since I'm a former PD, we do have some of the PD job in hand. Morning programming. In an effort to boost flagging on-air fundraising and morning drive at KPFA, in February I called for meetings to discuss ways to improve our morning lineup. I assume many on this board will know that the former KPFA morning show was pulled under orders by the ED and the national board, I understand. The decision left the station and many in the KPFA community in an uproar. It made working at KPFA extremely difficult. Whilst the intention was to save money, it's not clear that the morning show move actually did, since the old morning show returned about three times its cost. But when it was removed, KPFA's fundraising remained fairly constant. And though morning drive income dropped substantially, it seems pledges moved to other parts of the lineup. But the number of days to raise the same money pre-removal of the morning show in 2010 was about 60, and today it's 80, a 25% increase. A lot of pressure was applied to me not to place the KPFA news department in the 7 a.m. hour. The impetus for this pressure was largely politically motivated. But I'm a programmer by nature and finally decided to follow my programming instincts, extract the politics from the equation, and install the best programming I could with the resources I had. At a time when newspapers and commercial broadcasters are slashing news coverage, KPFA launched Upfront, a new daily hour-long news magazine with a strong focus on state and local issues. On Thursday, May 17, KPFA started broadcasting the statewide collaboration with KPFK's Uprising and Sonali Kolhatkar, featuring hard-hitting interviews, debates, in-depth reporting from journalists working from Los Angeles, Oakland, Sacramento, around the area. At this point, the new morning program is costing KPFA nothing. KPFA News Department with Sonali Kolhatkar from KPFK are essentially volunteering time to create this new program. It's a good example of collaboration and was created by the producers, not me. And I commend them.
Folks, could we please ask for some courtesy from the audience while someone is speaking? I know people want to have other conversations, but it becomes difficult to hear over the... Was it the board? Well, then even more so, I admonish you. Thank you. Please. Okay. Well, everyone, please try to moderate so that we may hear. Mr. Phillips, I'm sorry for the interruption. Please continue. I said Mr. Phillips.
Oh, sorry.
I know the man's name. Thank you. Please continue.
Staff cuts may necessitate the removal of the Upfront program. Upfront program, the new program, has been returning about $5,000 an hour. That's basically my report, but I just want to finish by acknowledging KPFA's First Voices Apprenticeship Program. The apprenticeship program began in 1985, and there have been 38 iterations so far. And currently, there are more than two dozen former and current apprentices working with KPFA. Needless to say, there are many others working at other media outlets. And then in my report, which I think you have a copy of, I mention a lot of the special events which Bob Baldock has produced for us, great events, which I believe should be sent round the network nationally. We're talking about Richard Wolff, Diana Ravitch, Thomas Frank, Michio Kaku, Michael Clare, Rachel Maddow, Van Jones, Derek Jensen, Medea Benjamin, Chris Hedges, Joy Harjo, Gabriel Mate, a lot of great speakers which I don't think we take advantage of sufficiently around our network. That's my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips, for your report. If you could stay a few moments and we'll allow questions from members of the board. Thank you. Are there members with questions? I have Ken, Tracy, Campbell. I'll take it from Alex. Okay. Can we try to stick to 1 minute each, please? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips, for the very detailed report. I just have one question. What do you feel the national office could do to support the success of KPFA?
I think we need answers to those seven questions I brought up at the beginning of my report. Let me just briefly say, I have what I think is a good relationship with the executive director. We have had our differences, but I have respect for her, her courage and fortitude in this difficult organization. I think things are a little bit easier at KPFA. I'll leave my answer at that. I think we need answers to those seven questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Tracy, then Campbell, then Alex. Tracy? Do you want me to come back to you? Or?
Yeah, could you
Campbell?
Back
of course.
Yeah,
Campbell?
Campbell will be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Can I borrow your microphone?
Yes, sorry.
Go ahead, Campbell.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you very much, Andrew. Certainly appreciate your presentation. I was curious about, I hope we're getting a written copy of that. I was curious
about... It's in the book. It's in the board book.
Oh, okay, great. I should have read it before.
That's okay.
But I was curious about a comment that you had mentioned in terms of pulling of the morning show that was in part due to a decision by the PNB. Is that... Did I understand that correctly?
Don't look at me.
Yes, I did say I understood that. My understanding was that the PNB had some influence over that.
Yeah, I don't recall any vote that addressed that whatsoever, and I think that perhaps there's an unfortunate miscommunication that took place, and I've always had the highest regard for the morning show and what it's meant, and I've been very much pained by a lot of the staff changes that have taken place in that regard, and I think that they've been very damaging to the network as a whole.
Well, I stand corrected, Campbell. Then it was I stand corrected. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for the record, I was on the PNB at that time. There was no vote taken. Nothing was ever discussed with the PNB about the morning show, one way or the other. I wasn't chair at the time, but I was there. There was no vote on that subject. So, thank you.
Who was the chair at that time?
I believe George was. But I mean, the subject of your programming never came before the board for a vote of any sort. So. Next on stack is Tracy and then Alex.
Hi, Andrew. Just a couple of quick questions and comments on your report. You mentioned that KPFA's current FTE is 26 individuals accounting for 47 people. So you're saying there are 47 people currently sharing 26 full-time jobs at KPFA. I just wanted to verify that number.
Correct.
It was a little higher than I thought. Would you say that all 47 are at least half-time? Or something fairly close to that? So we're paying benefit packages for 47 people?
No, I don't believe we are.
Okay, well, if you could verify that number, that'd be great. Yes, but every half-time employee gets full benefits,
Correct. Including
dependents. So I'm just wondering how many people are on the benefit package nowadays. It's about 47 or 45.
No, some of those FTEs are less than 50%.
Do you have a number?
It's a total. Excuse me.
Do you have a number?
No, I do not. Okay. Not in front of me now.
Maybe
no,
I can get that from you another time. Okay. A couple of other things quickly. Thanks for your comments about the Healthy Station Project, and I would agree with you that the Healthy Station Project plan was an albatross dragging the foundation towards mediocre programming. You made a suggestion that Pacifica National should take over all AM programming stationwide from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'd ask you to...
Drive time. Make it clear.
I have suggested that Pacifica take national control of all drive time programming, 6 to 10 a.m. and 4 to 6 p.m. I wouldn't mind hearing a little bit more about that. That usually doesn't win you any friends and allies around here. And then I have two other quick things. I have a question for you at your report on the bottom of page 5.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to roll that out of order. This is the board book. that's confidential. It shouldn't even be. Please don't.
All right.
I would ask that you move on, and we'll discuss it in closed
session. I will
session.
Move on, yes. I simply
Thank
have
you.
A question about
I'm sure
language.
You do, as we all do. Thank
okay.
you.
And then I guess the final item is if you could verify for me, you made some comments about lengths of fund drives and amounts of fund drives. I don't think those numbers correspond with the actual MEMSIS numbers. For example, May 2010 fund drive only raised $660,000 at KPFA, and it was around 19, 20 days, and we just raised 631, 671 if you want to include Fresno, in 25 days, so I'm not quite sure where those stats are coming from about it taking 25% longer to raise the same amount of money. So if you could get me some documentation on that, that'd be great.
Mr. Phillips, if you could answer her questions regarding the programmatic changes suggested in your report, it's probably easier
I'll
than perhaps
to.
The hard numbers that you might need to retrieve.
I'd be happy to, Madam Chair. These are suggestions. I think I said this was a suggestion.
Yes.
I mean, let's talk turkey here. We need
Please.
Some changes. Let's talk about some changes. And the Pacifica Network has some fine producers. Fine programmers within our system. When I was with Pacifica, I was with Pacifica from 1979 till 1989 as a volunteer. I worked as a staffer for about 4 years. We had a national office. I think Bill Wax was the national guy. We had Bill Thomas. We had a whole national office doing national programming. Not to say the programming was great. I think we at the stations were not that impressed with the programming, to be quite honest. But we have fine people within our system. And I think if we went around the room and asked each of our stations how their morning shows are doing, I think generally we would find they're not doing crackerjack. The average would not be fantastic. But yet, that's when the audience is. This is radio. Morning is where the audience is.
Thank you.
We need a strong lineup in the morning, and we've got to do something. You know that, all of you, better than I do, and it's going to be painful. Yes, it is. We've got to do it. As a manager, I know that. It's like playing three-dimensional chess programming and working with Pacifica. There are many different factions pushing and pulling. But we do need to do something. And I'm asking for a discussion, a conversation. Because as a manager, I wear two hats. I work and employed. excuse me. I work for and employed by, paid for by Pacifica. But I've been at a station now for 18 months, and I have a love for most of my staff. It's a natural thing. Call it the Stockholm syndrome or the Berkeley syndrome. Call it whatever you like. But I like my staff. I respect my staff. I want to work with my staff. And to see my staff being cut, yes, I will stand up and support them. On the other hand, I'm with Pacifica, and I know there probably do have to be staff cuts. But we have to work with this. We have to stop the talk, walk the walk, and make the changes that need to be changed. Some of them will be painful, but we need a five-year plan. Where's the five-year plan? Where's the plan?
It's with the auditor.
Thank you. I'm sorry to get a little bit, but it's very. We're talking about people's jobs here, and we're talking about an audience which is abandoning us. We've been talking about young people. We're not doing anything. We have a lot of opportunities. We have a lot of good people within our system, and we have a lot of people who want to help. How are we going to work this through? How are we going to do this? I'm here to help. Laura's here to help. Cameron's here to help. We're all here to help. So let's go. Let's get this done. Let's get her done. Let's go. Let's get this done. Let's stop the talk. Let's get something done. It's been rough at KPFA. It's been rough for me at KPFA. It's going to be rough for others at KPFA. But it's okay. It's part of what this organization is. It's rambunctious. It's difficult. But it's worth saving. It's got to be saved, not just for Berkeley, not just for the United States of America, for the country. People listen to our radio station all around the world. And they're going to need to listen to it more and more. We're coming up for elections. We're going to be covering the elections, I hope, inside the hall. And I hope outside the hall, too, because that's where the real action is going to be happening. We need to be there. People are going to flock to KPFA, BAI, WPFW, K and T. They're going to flock to us when these elections happen, when the black blocks start breaking windows down there in Tampa. They're going to be coming to our radio station. We'd better be ready. There's an opportunity. We need to be ready for it.
Thank you. We appreciate your passion. And you're completely right. And discussion of what to do with our drive times is something important, but it takes cooperation between everyone to make those adjustments when they might not be the happiest thing but might benefit the stations and the network. Was there, did I miss Alex? Thank you. I knew you were next.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. I have a kind of a mixed reaction to your report. I really like some parts of it, and I have some serious objections to other parts of it. The thing I really liked is your passion for changing programming, and putting drive time programming under a national control is a terrific idea. It's something I've thought about myself for a long time. I do not have a background in programming. I have a background in criticizing programming directors. but that's another story. I feel the concerns of the KPFA staff and your concerns. I had some rather animated exchanges with some of the KPFA staff members and volunteers at the station last night. And I can't walk away from that without being affected. It's really, you have a truly remarkable entity here, and it is in many ways the hub of Pacifica. What I object to, however, is trying to spread blame to different parts of the network. I really think that kind of talk has to stop. WBAI or WPFW is not responsible for the financial crisis of Pacifica. The financial crisis of Pacifica is ongoing, and it reaches every single station. Not in the same way, of course, but it's there. Are you aware, for instance, that KPFA, although it's doing much better than other stations in some ways, is still projected to have a deficit by the end of the year of $179,000. So, are you aware of that?
Well, I have to say, you know...
Folks, there'll be plenty of time for public comment, and I will accommodate everyone. Do not worry, okay? So please just let Mr. Phillips answer. Thank you.
Numbers of Pacifica... are a moving target. They really are.
Well, I understand.
I mean, it depends what side of the target you're on, to be honest.
I really want to thank KPFA for lending Pacifica $1 million in 2007. I believe that there was a time when WBAI lent Pacifica lots of money in an earlier period. I don't know how productive it is to go back to this kind of history. We have, you know, we're in a crisis today. It's 2012. We have to either stick together or hang separate. So,
okay,
those are my comments.
Thank you, Alex. And I think it was 2001 that Mr. Phillips had said that there was a loan to Pacifica. All right, and we're coming close on time. Is there anyone else who has not yet asked a question at all or spoken who wishes to do so? All right, Tracy had a second question. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, no, this is really just for Alex. My understanding about the interstation loan, it's a little bit before my governance time. But my understanding was that the $1 million was sort of a loan, but basically what it was paying all the bills that had been run up for the lockout of KPFA in 1999, which included well over a month of private security guards. I was actually 3 months leading up to, followed by a close down and approximately $500,000 in legal bills. So it's sort of like KPFA loaned Pacifica money to pay KPFA's bills because of what happened to it. So in a way, bills have to be paid. And essentially calling that a loan is kind of ridiculous. I mean, what it was the paying of bills associated with the conduct of the previous non-elected Pacifica board that shut down KPFA forcibly. It costs money.
Thank you. I don't think Mr. Phillips needs to respond to that. It's
no.
Historical. Whatever. We are here now. Well, I seem to have so many misspeaks today. So I know I talk fast. I'm sorry. I think fast. I'm sorry. Mr. Phillips, is it your just that financial issue that we are not on schedule to have $179,000 deficit at K? That this is, I mean, at KPFA, is this you're saying it's subject to interpretation, or
I think I would say that it is very much so. Yes.
Okay. All right. And yeah. I did.
I acknowledge it. We're not. I said there's absolutely no. We're not in a plus situation at KPFA. We have our problems. They're not terrible problems. They're not terrible. But what is terrible is we may be losing up to 10 of our staff people, and that's pretty. It's going to be somewhat difficult. Change the nature of the station substantially. But I do urge some of you, if you're interested, to explore what happened when the Healthy Station project came in, because I do support my staff. But I think in 1995, when Lynn Chadwick and David LePage, working with the CPB, decided to start strip programming, which is a technique used to raise audience and to get people to listen across the week. There's nothing wrong with that, but it costs money. It was not the original model of Pacifica. It tended to push the community out to some extent and bring in paid personnel, which is what happened, and to some extent moderate the message too. And if you look at the history of who worked for the CPB and the revolving door between the CPB, Voice of America, Radio Marti, a lot of State Department organizations, there's been, including Lynn Chadwick, who went on to work for the CPB. I mean, these folks don't seem to have the interest of community radio at all. The CPB, the more money we make, the more money we get from them. The CPB was supporting Pacifica Radio to have a strip programming strategy. That would bring in more money. We would get more money from the CPB, so it locked us in more tightly with the CPB. And I think it's been counterproductive in the long run. Having said that, I have great respect for our paid staff. It may sound like an anomaly. I do have great respect for our paid staff, but the history, I think, does need to be looked at. How did we get in this position, and how do we move forward?
I notice. Thank you. And just one other question on the finances. And I said this yesterday, but frequently in Pacifica, the appearance of surplus or lack of deficit is achieved by not paying bills, and they sit on our books for a long time, and that's at specific stations as well as at the national office. In terms of deficit, do you feel we will not have that deficit because we are not paying bills that are due at KPFA, or that we will not have, you know, I mean, are we not having a deficit because we're simply letting things ride? It's my question.
Well, the question is, we have a lot of legal bills.
Yeah.
And we have, they're trickling in, but we don't really know what the total is, but we know it's a pretty big number. And
okay.
We know we're going to have to pay it eventually. And that brings up a whole other discussion. We have to create a less litigious organization.
Amen.
I mean, we have to do that. And I have to say, part of the decision to change the climate at KPFA by changing the morning, I think actually creates a less litigious environment, actually. And I think my staff would agree with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, I have a point of order. We're over time, but I had Ali, and then Campbell wanted a second round. But what's your point of order, Bill?
I just want to note that if we keep asking questions, we're either going to cut into or delay the LSB chair report and or public comment.
And they've been standing.
I know they have, and I'm going to talk to the public in just a second. I'm going to let Ali and Campbell. We're done. You're done? Campbell, do you need to ask a second one?
Yes, I did want to ask a question. And, you know, in a time of austerity, we have a situation, and I was wondering your feedback on it. Are we, in cutting staff rather easily, are we in a situation where we're virtually like farmers who are eating their seeds, so that, you know, you cannot, if you don't plant your seed, you aren't going to get a harvest next time around? Is that, would you say that that is, has any relationship to, the current circumstance in Pacifica?
Well, I think it's a pretty good metaphor. Look, if we lost a lot of our staff, our paid staff, we'd lose a lot of our money, but we'd also probably have less expenses, and we'd have less audience, and we probably wouldn't be able to do quite the job that we're doing today. It would be a different kind of a radio station. It's a very, very big discussion, and I don't want to comment on it here any more than that, but it's a discussion worth having, I would think. I would press the Pacifica National Office to seriously think about becoming a program provider. If we are going to cut staff, why don't we move some of those wonderful staff people into a central location and give them the voice that they deserve and the public deserves to hear also around this country and around the world for that matter.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips, for your report and for answering the questions of the board. We appreciate your being here today. Thank you. Yes, Margie.